Pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, we thank you so much that we can come into a warm place and we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we've already been a part of a worship, giving you what you're worth. And Lord, we can never quite give you what you're worth. So take our humble best and may it glorify you. Lord, I pray that we will give you all the glory and praise and the miracles in our lives, and thank you for all the things that you have done, will do, and are doing in our lives. Lord, I pray that you might give us an exodus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My subject is the leaven and the lamb don't mix. Check it out, Exodus 12, 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Now, a very important thing that we've seen is that the Exodus is not just a story of what God did to get Israel out of Egypt, but it is the story of what God did in order to get us out of condemnation and sin. We are all in a journey from Passover to paradise, from slavery to freedom, from Egypt to Canaan. And as we've looked at so far, the wilderness journey in between the two can be rough. Can be rough. You see, getting Israel out of Egypt, as many of us know, was only the beginning of the journey. You know, Passover was only the first of several feasts that celebrated the Exodus narrative. And so the feasts were yearly reminders of what God had brought them from. But more importantly, they were yearly reminders and pointers to where God was going to be bringing them to. Now, we've seen so far that the entire Exodus narrative, including the feasts, including the tabernacle, you name it, they found ultimate fulfillment in Christ Jesus and his ministry. And so the feasts were a way that God communed the gospel centuries before the gospel became flesh in Christ and tabernacled among us. And so I want to be crystal clear from the beginning. So it never fails when I preach anything on the feast, a member will come up to me and say, "Pastor, does that mean we need to start keeping the feast?" No. I want to be crystal clear. That is not in any way what we're talking about. I've seen folks sometimes fall into a trap of thinking, you know, that that's the next stage in their evolution in holiness, that if they can just do a little bit more, that that's going to make them more holy or more savable. But Paul often talked about things like circumcision and feast keeping and some of these things, not as a moving towards forward, but actually going backwards. Basically, the approach to God that thinks you can work enough to be saved is a form of slavery. And so we constantly warned the early Christians, many of who were Jewish, don't go back to that. You know, we're not going to make people get circumcised. All these things pointed to something better and bigger. And so the feasts were signposts pointing to Christ and particular aspects of his ministry. And to keep focusing on a signpost after the signpost gets you to where it's pointing you to, well, friends, that's to miss the point. It's like following a signpost to the Grand Canyon and missing the Grand Canyon because you keep focusing on the signpost. So although it may not no longer be necessary to keep the feast as we once did, although I would suggest we keep them, although a little differently, it is necessary to learn the lessons they have to teach us because they're all a part of the Exodus narrative and they're all a part of Jesus's giving us an Exodus in our lives. So in part six of our Exodus, entitled Get Out, we examined the significance of the Passover. We looked at that briefly, of what the Passover did. Basically, the Passover lamb was the price for our freedom. That it really wasn't the death of Pharaoh's firstborn, but it was really the death of the Father's firstborn of new creation, Jesus, that ultimately sets us free. The Passover lamb was the price of our freedom. And so that opens up Romans 6:23 in so many ways. The wages of sin, the wages of slavery is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Suddenly Paul says things in Romans 3. He says that Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation, payment, by his blood to be received by faith, this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. You see, because Christ's blood covers you, condemnation and death can now pass over you. I don't know about you, but I've done a few things in my past I don't mind getting passed over. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus, the death angel can pass over you. But again, Passover was only the beginning of the Exodus experience. That was only the beginning of being set free. Now, it would have been cruel for God to liberate Israel, get them out into the wilderness, and then just leave them to their own devices. A loving God would never do that. You see, friends, God does love us and rescue us, save us right where we are. You don't have to get better to come to God. That there's no such thing as that. You got to give your heart to God, and then through an experience of his grace, we become transformed day by day through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So I want to be clear. God loves us and saves us right where we are, but he loves us too much just to leave us that way. And when he rescues you from slavery, he doesn't just want to give you a little bit of freedom. He wants to give you full freedom. Galatians 5:1, Paul says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." You see, after God gets Israel out of Egypt, now begins the much harder job of getting Egypt out of Israel. Leviticus 23:55-6. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. And for 7 days, you shall not eat unleavened bread." So check this out. Passover led right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So as soon as Passover came to a close, the Feast of Unleavened Bread began. As soon as Israel took the Paschal lamb, Passover lamb, in, they immediately began letting go of the leaven in their lives and in their homes. Leaven, for those of you who may not know, leaven is basically what? Yeast. Okay, so leaven was a symbol in the Bible of Israel's old life. Okay, so leaven, you see, if Israel wanted freedom and a future, they were going to have to leave their old life in Egypt behind. Friends, if you want to feel freedom and experience freedom, you're going to have to leave your old life behind. Because the purpose of leaven and yeast, and the reason why it's often compared to slavery and sin, is that the purpose of yeast is to make bread rise. It puffs the bread up, which actually is the essence of sin. The root of sin is selfishness and pride. Our biggest problems with attaining better freedom is self. It's ourselves. And this is where Paul's getting at in 1 Corinthians, where he says, look, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. As soon as you bring the Passover lamb in, then the Passover lamb, we start letting go of the leaven. Let us then celebrate. Let me go back there. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. And then the next verse, I left it out of my slides. In verse 8, it says, let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, the problem with leaven is that leaven spreads everywhere. It spreads to every single part of the dough. And friends, that's really the problem with sin. Is that sin spreads to every part of the life. And this is the thing, you cannot contain a little bit of sin in your life. You can't quarantine a little bit of sin and then expect it to not infiltrate and invade the rest of your life. You cannot keep room for the leaven because it will spread. And the reason many of us don't find the freedom that we're looking for through faith is right here. Instead of letting God give us a brand new life, we keep trying to work God into our old life. Okay? New wine requires new what? Wineskins. New wine requires new wineskins because you see, friends, the leaven and the lamb don't mix. And so the first step in becoming a Christian is you've got to come to Christ and die. The first step in becoming a Christian is to die. Notice, Paul said it in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the thing. You don't just die once. Man, I gotta die every day. Amen? That's what Paul says. He goes, I die daily. I've got to die every single day. John the Baptist said, look, if Jesus is to increase, then I am going to have to decrease. How did John the Baptist decrease? Well, he died. The call, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, the call to Christianity is a call to die. Friends, you can be baptized 100 times, but unless we die and let Christ come alive, we'll never experience freedom to its absolute fullest. You see, there's not enough room for Jesus and your ego. There's not enough room for Jesus and your control. You know, there wasn't enough time to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread in its fullest at the very first Passover in Egypt. They celebrated it and recognized it in its own little way, but there wouldn't have been time to really celebrate the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the very first Passover. So most historians think that it wasn't until a year later in the wilderness that it was introduced and observed to its absolute fullest. And that makes sense because there's nothing like a little wilderness to start bringing out the leaven in our life. I want you to think about that. It's nothing like a little bit of wilderness to start bringing out the leaven. You're running late for an appointment and the car in front of you can't even drive the speed limit. Look out, here comes some leaven. You get home after a full day of work and that husband of yours couldn't even do the dishes. Let alone, he waits for you to get home from work so that you can fix him dinner. Look out, here comes some leaven. You take a chance and you go up to someone you don't know in the church. You know, pastor said we got to walk across the room and get to know people. So you do it, you take a chance, you go up to someone and they're as rude as they can be. Look out, here comes some leaven. Here comes some leaven. But this is what you need to understand, friends. When someone is rude to you or doesn't treat you right, their life is already full of leaven. Don't let their leaven invade your life. Let them keep their leaven. They're trying to share it with you. You got enough leaven of your own. So think about it. It's not until we get into the wilderness that we discover just how much leaven we have left. You didn't know what sacrifice was until after you got married. You didn't know how toxic your family was until you had a family of your own. And you realize what you thought was normal was insane. You didn't know how much you needed prayer until after you go into the wilderness of teenagers. You don't know how prone you were to addiction until after you go through the wilderness of the traumatic event. You didn't know how bad your temper was until after going into the wilderness of stress. You didn't know what forgiveness was until after going into the wilderness of pain. See, friends, this is what I'm getting at. Israel didn't know the pull that Egypt had on their lives until after they went into the wilderness. You see, the wilderness will start bringing the leaven out of us. You know, it's not easy letting go of our leaven. Like Israel, we grow very accustomed to leaven. In fact, if we're honest, deep down in our heart, we love our leaven. Israel thought that they left Egypt in the Red Sea, but Egypt didn't leave Israel. You see, you thought you left your old life dead in the baptistry, but your old life didn't leave you. He followed you into the wilderness. She followed you into the wilderness. And that's why Paul said he's constantly fighting two battles within. The battle against his flesh, the flesh and the spirit are constantly at war. And don't think that because you go to church or read your Bible that you don't have any leaven. Church folk are loaded with leaven too. You know what, though, if you're, because a lot of times people will say, oh, Pastor, I don't go to church because those people are hypocrites and those people think they're better. And you know what? Look, if you're at a hospital, you don't get surprised when you see sick people. The church is a hospital for sinners. So don't be surprised when you see a little bit of leaven leaking out of someone. It's going to happen. Just give it time. But don't you dare discard the church just because someone in the church hurts your feelings, makes you mad. Including the pastor. So Matthew 16, 6. Do church leaders have leaven? You better believe it. Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Matthew 23, Jesus goes into this amazing detail as to what leaven is in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I want to jump through that very quickly. So check this out. Matthew 23, first of all, verse 3 is their leaven. They don't practice what they preach. Okay, verse 4, they oppress people with rules that they came up with. Friends, we got enough rules. We don't need extra rules that you invented. They oppress people with rules they invented. You only serve in order to get the pat on the back. Verse 5. You always have to feel important or in charge. Verse 6. You think you're better than those people out there in the world. Verse 12. You make it hard for people to come to Jesus with your many, many rules before they can come. Verse 13. You are spiritually blind. Verse 16. You may eat right. You may dress right, but you're as mean as a snake. Verse 24. You may dress modestly, but you're lost. You may look like a Seventh-day Adventist, but you act more like a devil. And then Jesus ends this very big rebuke of his church, and he says, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Basically, friends, God can save anyone from anything if they can just get honest and admit they need saving. But how can God deliver anyone who don't believe they need any deliverance? And then Jesus, continuing, he loves Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. How can I deal with your leaven when you have all this denial? And you know what, friends? It's always easier to notice someone else's leaven than it is to notice our own. You see, we tend to focus on the leaven that's easy for people to see. So the smoking, the drinking, the cheating, you know, this kind of stuff, all that, don't get me wrong, leaven is leaven. It's holding you back from experiencing freedom. But we tend to focus on the leaven that we can see. But you know what? In studying the Bible, I picked up on a pattern. For every one thing Jesus says, maybe about, see, the church tends to focus on sexual sin and those heathens out there and those lifestyle issues. But for every one thing Jesus says about sexual sin, he says 10 things about pride, jealousy, greed, and selfishness. And that is because, friends, Jesus always goes below the surface. You see, leaven that we can see on the surface is only a symptom of the much deeper leaven that is deep down in people's hearts. And that's why you can change the way you dress, you can change the way you eat, you can change the day you worship on, you can keep every rule religiously and still be lost. Because you see, friends, leaven works from the inside out. You do not sprinkle leaven on top of the dough. It's got to go right into the heart of the lump. And that's why letting go of the leaven has to start with our heart. It doesn't start, you know, we tend to say, okay, I'm going to straighten up the outside that the church folks see, but then I'll start working on the inside parts. You need to come in broken and beaten and start dealing with the heart issues. And God, if he can clean out your heart, he can clean out the rest. If you let him get a hold of the middle and the inside, he will clean out from the inside out to your outside. You see, only Jesus always starts at the heart because he knows only when he has our heart will we ever really be free. This was the problem. Israel wanted help, but without having to give up their hearts. Israel wanted to leave Egypt and live in Egypt at the same time. Israel wanted to let go of the parts of Egypt that were painful while keeping the parts that they think were good for them. But remember, friends, Paul's already said, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump, and the leaven and the lamb do not mix. The Feast of Unleavened Bread represented this leaven-purging process from our lives. It was symbolic of what the Holy Spirit would do in our lives. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was over a period of 7 days, just like creation. It didn't happen overnight. Some of us have spent our whole life losing our tempers. You think you're going to stop losing your temper overnight? It ain't going to happen overnight. It's a process. For 7 days, Israel let go of all their leaven. For 7 days, they only ate unleavened bread. And we know in the Bible, the number 7 is significant, isn't it? The number 7 is significant. It is symbolic of God's perfect and completing process. The number 7 is a promise. God always finishes what he begins, and he doesn't take a break, hallelujah, until he's done. God's not going to stop working on me until he can say, it is finished. Exodus 12:34. So Israel took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped in their cloaks on their shoulders. You see, Israel didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise if they wanted an exodus. Friends, we don't have time to keep playing around with that sin if we want an exodus either. We cannot follow Christ into the future he has for us while still handcuffed to the old life we used to live. Stop wasting all the time and the energy. Think of all the time and the energy and even the money we spend on the leaven in our life. Think about that. If we just prayed half as much as we worried, if we humbled as much as we grumbled, If we proclaimed half as much as we complained, if we kept our mouth shut half as much as we gossiped, if we just spent half the time we spend on our leaven into the mission, man, we'd already be in heaven. We'd already be in the 1,000 years celebration, hallelujah. We don't have time to keep investing in the leaven if we want the lamb to take over. The leaven and the lamb, they don't mix. Exodus 12:11, be fully dressed. Wear your sandals. Okay, carry your walking stick in your hand. You got to eat this meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. You've got to take Christ in knowing that he's going to do something. You got to be ready to go, because no one can put his hand to the plow while still looking back. Israel had to leave Egypt in a hurry. They had to be dressed and ready to go. They had to eat standing up. Jesus says in Revelation, behold, I'm coming like a thief, and blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Friends, we can't have anything holding us back for when God shows up to give us an exodus. We got to get ready to let go of the leaven right now. And we all have leaven in our lives that is holding us back. We all have leaven that is rising inside of us, that we're sitting there waiting for it to go away, and it just keeps on rising. We've got to let go of the leaven today. In Hebrews, it says, lay aside every weight, every sin, every leaven which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Maybe we're so tired we can't share our faith because we've been spending all of our time and energy on the leaven in our lives. Friends, the time is the time to choose. Am I going to live for my leaven, or am I going to live for the Lamb? Am I going to keep doing what I've always done, or will I let go and let God do something different? The question for each of us today is, do you really want to be free? Do you really want to be free? Yeah, but Pastor, no matter how much leaven I lose, I find some more leaven right around the corner. Pastor, I want to leave my leaven, but my leaven doesn't want to leave me. Pastor, I've been trying to deal with my leaven my whole life. And friends, here lies the problem. You can't. You can't deal with your leaven. You've been trying to. How has that been working for you? You see, friends, the root of sin is self, which means the solution to our leaven problem must come from someone else. So the question is, how can we lay aside every weight and sin that's holding us back? How can we lay aside the leaven that still has a hold on our lives? Well, it tells us, Hebrews, the author of Hebrews tells us in the very next verse, how do we drop all that stuff, lay aside every weight? By looking to Jesus, the founder, and notice, he is the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There is only one way, friends, you can let go of your leaven, and that is to start living for the Lamb. There's only one way you can get rid of the leaven, and that is by letting the Lamb into your life. Check this out. Jesus is the real feast of unleavened bread. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't you see, friends, it's only by taking Christ in, the only true unleavened bread, that we can possibly become unleavened in our lives. 1 John 3:5, it says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So check this out. There is no leaven in your life when the Lamb lives in your life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat. You see, this is something interesting. Notice, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. It's not a coincidence that it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread that Jesus multiplies 5,000 barley loaves from five. It's not an accident that it's during that time that he says in John 6:58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the unleavened bread the fathers ate, not like the manna and died, but the true bread that comes from heaven. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. It's not a coincidence at the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that Jesus is being buried in its tomb. So check this out. As Israel started removing the physical leaven from their homes, Jesus, the true bread, was removing the leaven of sin and death from the world. Because friends, if we're honest, we're so smothered and covered with leaven. We got leaven coming out of our ears. We don't know what's life and what's leaven. And so Christ came down from heaven and he took the leaven of our sorrows and the leaven of our pride. He took the leaven of our hate, the leaven of sickness, disease, and death, and he took it into his perfect unleavened body. And he went into the grave and he died so that he could kill and remove and start soaking up the leaven that is in your life today. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, invite the Lamb to start soaking up the leaven in your life. Okay, you left Egypt. Now it's time to ask God to get Egypt out of your life. You see, the leaven won't be able to stay, even if it wanted to, if you invite the Lamb into your life. Because, friends, the leaven and the Lamb don't mix. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. We are so thankful, Lord, that you don't just want to save us for the future. You want to save us from ourselves right now. The sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, is so much more than just a fire insurance. It is a transformation that can happen in our lives right now. You didn't just free Israel and leave them there. You took them out into the wilderness to transform their life. And so, Lord, I pray right now, each and every one of us, as you are knocking on the door of our heart, that we will let you in, and we will allow the leaven of the Lamb to start soaking up the leaven in our lives. You will not stop until you give us the fullest freedom possible. Lord, help us to see that that leaven isn't making us happy. It's hurting us. It's holding us back. It's a part of slavery. Free us today, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.